This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Politics on Your Plate. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. In the U.S., most farmers are white people, more than 90% of farmers. And for many people of color who get into farming, the work is more than work. They want farming to be more welcoming, to make healthy food more accessible to more consumers. Alan Yu takes us to meet a farmer on a mission near Charlottesville, Virginia.
Chris Newman used to be a software engineering manager, well paid, but he worked long hours, ate fast food, and went to the doctor a lot. Eventually, enough was enough. Chris and his wife moved from the Washington, D.C. area to Charlottesville, Virginia to become farmers.
The immediate cause was to, get me out from under the fluorescent lights and get me outside and healthy and, moving around, which is what makes me feel good.
Now he's healthier, has fewer stomach problems, and he can eat dairy products again. He gets up before the sun is up, has a cup of coffee, and drives 10 minutes to work the land. He has pigs, ducks, and chickens.
Because I grow all this stuff, I tend to eat it. I don't eat at Popeyes anymore. I think it's disgusting. I used to love Popeyes. Now I can't eat that crap. I have a really hard time eating bad meat. I'll eat a vegetarian dish at a restaurant if I don't know where the heck the meat's coming from.
That's not a problem on his farm. Chris knows these chickens. This morning, he's transferring the flock to a large pen where they can run around and forage for bugs in the grass. The birds will also fertilize the land with their poop.
This is going to smell.
First, Chris has to get 150 chickens into large plastic crates. The chickens scatter and flap their wings to avoid being picked up, but calm down once they're inside the crates. We drive through a field and put them inside large chicken wire pens.
6, 7, 8.
Each pen has an aluminum roof, but no floor, just a grassy field underneath. The chickens live there for the next 5 weeks. Chris says the idea is to give the animals sunlight and room to run around, so their manure doesn't overwhelm one spot, and so he doesn't have to give the animals antibiotics. Chris says he cares about treating his chickens well, but these decisions about how to run his farm are also political.
It's not just about our happy damn chickens. No, this is about how do we fix this system.
His philosophy is you can avoid factory farming techniques, grow food sustainably, and still produce the food the world needs. His chickens do their business all over the field, which makes the Virginia soil more fertile.
Animals have created this foundation where you can now, in that place, plant trees, plant crops, and they'll be healthy, and they're not going to need all these injections of artificial fertilizers and chemicals and all this stuff because just that soil is so healthy.
But growing food that way is also expensive. His eggs sell for $5 a dozen.
And that is a huge thing that bothers me about what we do. A lot of my family, a lot of people I grew up with, in my neighborhood in Southeast D.C., which is rapidly gentrifying, but they can't afford this stuff. I could sit here and say that, A, it's cheaper than Whole Foods, it's cheaper than it, and it's like hearing rich people argue about the price of a Bugatti and a Maserati. It's like, if it's $10 a pound, it might as well be $1 million a pound. So what has to happen in order for this to be accessible to everyone is way bigger than me, is way bigger than this farm, is way bigger than all the farms in Central Virginia or the Mid-Atlantic or anywhere else.
He wants a lot more people like him growing food using these methods. Maybe it's a business, or maybe it's a hobby in a backyard or a community garden so they can make money on the side. Specifically, he wants to help more people of color get involved in farming so they can feel the same connection to the land and health transformation that he has. African Americans are 1.5 times as likely to be obese than white people, and they eat fewer vegetables than other racial groups. But to get more people of color interested in farming, first you have to, get them interested in farming. When people find out he used to work in tech, often they say he was crazy to take an $8,000 a month pay cut to work outside in a field.
Part of my family thought, married this white girl and lost his mind. And left his good job, gone back to the plantation, and all that kind of crap. Oh, yeah, black people got jokes.
Some of them just cannot understand his decision.
Even my own brother, when I, he's a customer of mine, he loves the food, loves what we're doing. But when I kind of jokingly, told my nephew, yeah, you could be a farmer like your uncle someday, come up and join me. And, he just kind of goes, nah.
Chris is determined to get more people into farming. He's already working with high school students, and he says you just need to get them to a farm. Show them the chickens and the pigs roaming around the forest eating big acorns from trees.
They just kind of hang out. They've got a nice big area. This is maybe an acre and a half. It's kind of a wonderland. You know, I'd live out here. Give me a tent, I'd be just fine.
But then there's a more complicated problem, one that the vast majority of farmers don't have, because they're mostly white. A couple years ago, Chris was driving past a rich neighborhood. He pulled his pickup truck over onto the side of the road to eat his lunch.
This lady, like, jogs by, and she gives me this look. And every black man in America knows that look. It's a mix of fear and incongruence, like, you don't belong, something's wrong. And as soon as she, you know, ran by and gave me that look, I'm like, the cops are going to be here in less than 5 minutes. And lo and behold, like 5 minutes later, here comes a cop. You know, like, rolls up in Indian Ridge. You know, this is not part of your beat. This is not where cops drive. You know, I know it. Slows down, looks at me, you know, doesn't quite stop. Because again, I know how to disarm white people. You know, first thing you do is smile. You act like you own the place. You act white. Change your voice, you know, to where you code switch. And you, the way I talk like this, like there's kind of blackness in it. You get rid of all of that and you speak in a different kind of tone. You maybe lower your voice a little bit, or maybe you just raise your voice a little bit and you talk like kind of an intellectual. You make sure that there isn't too much in your voice. Articulate very well and smile. Always smile.
That's not the only time someone called the police on him. It has happened while he was working the fields and when he was delivering food. Now he does his work differently.
I don't do deliveries that much anymore. I avoid farming in places where I can be seen from the road.
Chris is working to address the lack of diversity among farmers in his community by hiring interns, focusing on women, people of color, and other underrepresented groups.
It's about recognizing that there are barriers there for them that aren't there for other people, and that, you know, we need that lift, because it's, the world is not our oyster.
Last year, the farm broke even. This comes 3 years after Chris left his tech job and started the farm with his wife.
I need to be that example of somebody that could leave it and, you know, viably make a living as a farmer.
And there's demand for this kind of work to diversify the farming community and reconnect people to their food.
I started getting calls from mostly black women in different places in the country who were saying, like, I just need to hear your voice to know that I'm not alone and to know that it's possible to be a farmer.
Leah Penniman is a farmer and activist at Soul Fire Farm on the eastern side of New York State. She got those calls just a year after she started her farm, and she's another person who thinks of farming as a political act. In addition to farming, she runs a training program to teach black and Latino people basic farming skills. Demand is booming. She can train 120 people a year, and she has another 100 to 200 people on the waiting list for next year's program. Leah also teaches a bit of history about the relationship black people in the U.S. have to the land.
You can't go through hundreds of years of enslavement and then sharecropping and tenant farming and convict leasing and not have that trauma get imprinted into your DNA and your cultural history.
She teaches some lesser known history as well. Leah says, at first, European settlers didn't know how to grow rice, millet, and a lot of the other crops now grown in the US, but the Africans did.
People who were experts in growing these crops were kidnapped so that they could establish the agricultural systems. So, you know, all that rice, those were African technologies. The ways of getting the swamps of Florida to produce food, those were mounding technologies that also were African technologies of how to, drain out an area and make it productive.
Among black farmers that she knows, farming is not only a business. Social justice is part of their work. Leah sells produce to about 260 people in her New York community. As part of her mission, she accepts food stamps, and she developed a system where she can still make money while supporting 15% of her customer base, even if they can't pay in any given week. So customers who can afford to pay essentially help support those who don't have the budget for this.
The food, no matter what, it comes every week to folks' doorsteps, high quality, full box of veggies. And for many people, they say if it wasn't for that, they would just be eating you know, boiled pasta, because that's the most calories for the least money.
And for some people, farming is political in a different way. It's empowering. It means they're being self-reliant. I called up Patty, a 22-year-old farmer in Mississippi. She asked that we not use her last name because her work and opinions have led to her being harassed online. 2 years ago, Patty and her husband started a 3.5-acre farm where they grow radishes, cucumbers, tomatoes, rabbits, and chicken. She worries that people have forgotten where their food comes from. She told me about something that happened to a friend of hers.
She took her son to school with homemade chicken nuggets, and the other kids were having store-bought chicken nuggets. And the kid leans over to the other child and says, "Did you know chicken nuggets are made out of chicken?" And all the kids started crying in the room because none of them knew that chicken nuggets come from chicken.
Patty says if more people grew their own chickens, then they wouldn't have to buy it as much, so there'd be less demand for factory-farmed chicken. That gets back to Chris Newman, the farmer we met outside Charlottesville, Virginia. His idea is that we shouldn't treat chickens like a product that you pack into small cages and grow as much as possible. He doesn't even like putting his chickens in crates in order to move them from one side of the farm to the other.
It's probably my least favorite thing about raising chickens is putting them in these crates. I can't stand it. I wouldn't want to be in there.
Alan Yu reported this story.